Blog Talk Radio.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Wow. And welcome to Contending for Truth Radio, Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. You know, I like to think back. I like to look back. If anybody could come up with a time machine where I could go back and play around for a little bit in the 50s or the 40s or go back to the 1800s, I would be on board. I would be in line, ready to go. I think it would be awesome to be able to go back, like Dan has, and be able to sit in the audience and listen to that man in a different time. a different time. You know, my favorite thing that he says in that clip is when Red Skelton's talking about it, and he doesn't even realize it. He's talking about Barbara Boxer. You know, when our leaders decide that they're there working for us instead of an attitude, a mentality that they are all important. What a great man. We miss him. We've got that great clip. I would hope that's not new to any of our listeners. I would hope that everybody that is listening right now has heard that at some other time, because it's very, very important. What a great man. What a great pledge. You know, we just celebrated our birthday of this great country. And let me tell you, for all of her problems, she's still the best place in the world to ever live and the best time to ever live. We live good lives. That's what this show is about. You see, there was a time back when Red Skelton was standing on stage speaking that we still had some worries in our schools. We had to worry about some of the social aspects our children would pick up from other children that aren't taught the same way ours are, or an occasional teacher that was just wanted to put more opinion into the classroom than what she or he needed to do. Or that wonderful country that was, when Red Skelton was standing on that stage, it's under threat now for our sovereignty. They want to come in now, and the problems that we've been facing in our schools for the last 3, 4, 5 decades, they want to institutionalize those with Common Core. I really believe Common Core is going down. And I really believe that the patriotism that is invested in that clip is going up. So that's why we do what we do here at Contending for Truth Radio. We want to invite everybody. If you're listening online, call that number right up at the top. I'll give it out here in a couple of minutes. Call in and join the conversation. We're going to have some great conversation. We've got some great things to talk about, and we've got some great hosts represented from all over the United States. We've got two hosts from Alabama, Jennifer Montrose and Stacy Tobush. We've got Dan Wilson down in Florida. We've got out here with me, Rodney Stanhope, and me, Scott Osborne, as each week we come together and sit together like we're sitting on our couches and have political discussion and have discussion about the direction of our country and have discussion about what's in our minds and what's in our hearts. So we're going to welcome everybody in. I'm just going to start here in California and pass it on over to Rodney Stanhope. I'll let Rodney pass it to Stacy, and then Stacy to Jennifer, and then Jennifer, you pass it on down to Dan, and when Dan's done, he can knock it way back all the way over here in California, and I'll pick it up again. Rodney, welcome.
Hey, Scott, glad to be here. What a great week it's been. I'm not even sure Obama is capable of even picking a winner any longer. Thus, we have Egypt. They just kicked out his hand-picked successor, and it's happening in Syria. And apparently, you know, his solution, he's probably golfing. But other than that, it's been a fantastic week watching the media turn itself upside down trying to defend him. And we're here to tell the truth about it. So with that, I pass it on.
Hey, guys. It has been insane week. I always have insane weeks, though. Gearing up for next week's march on D.C., getting ready for that fight against the immigration bill, and I love the tense atmosphere that you feel coming from the media now and how they're squirming, and you can see it and feel it because people are uprising and people are saying no, and poll after poll after poll is saying we say no, and I'm so excited to be getting ready to go to Washington, and excited about tonight because there's so much going on, and nights that we don't have anything planned tend to turn into some of the best conversations. Jennifer?
Whoops. My turn?
I don't know that we've got Jennifer. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on again. I love being here and being part of this wonderful little family we have online. Pardon me, I'm still drying my eyes every time I listen to that skit by Red Skelton. Tears rolled down my face. He gave us a warning back then, and sadly, it's all come true. I watched that live back in 69 or 70, and so it means a lot to me. I probably listened to it 200 times since then, and it's still my favorite skit. So bear with me, but been listening, you know, all these, the media trying to defend Obama, but the ship is sinking, and, you know, it's starting to crack up, and I don't think there's any avoiding it. It's, the truth is coming out, whether people like it or not. The American patriot, the thing that was born into each and every one of us, is finally starting to emerge again, and I thank God every day for that. We have a long way to go. We have to bring God back to the center of our country and really start from scratch and rebuild what the mess that was left to us. But I am sure we can do it. And, you know, we have the Zimmerman trial now going on that's going into its closing argument starting tomorrow. And another attempt at trying to divide our nation and divide up our people. But people are starting to see the truth, and it's up to, you know, us to spread the word. And for all our listeners out there, please, you know, go out there, tell everybody who will listen, because that's our, going to be our salvation. We can't rely on the media. We can't rely on TV. We have to rely on ourselves, just like we did 300 years ago. And you know something? 300 years ago, they told us we couldn't win. We were going against the strongest military in the world. And guess what? We're a nation today. And Scott, back over to you.
So true, Dan. And you know, you said some important words. One of those words, the word truth. We have got the facts on our side. We know that. We know that the current administration has agenda item after agenda item after agenda item, that if the American people really fully understood what was being done, they would not agree with it. We are up against a conglomerate media information push into the American people that we have to go around. We have to go around, and we don't need to go around and argue about all the little basic tidbits of every last piece of every issue. We need to go around, and we need to get them back to the basics. You know, Dan, you mentioned the founders a lot. You know, they've got some great words that are already in print that have been there for a long time. They've got some, all these different things. Go ahead, Casey.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Jennifer?
Oops.
Okay, I'll go back to it, and then we'll pass it around the room. But we have got to get the message out. On a simple level, because I tell you, you know, Stacey and I were having a little conversation right before we started the show. And there is a big vote Democratic Party. Since that vote was what they really believed in. They when they first started voting for the Democratic Party, they were in lockstep with beliefs. Democratic Party has ran into a total socialist mode. And most Democrats don't realize that. And it's our job to get that message out. That's what we were all doing before we came together on this show. That was what we were doing before. And now we're doing it as a team. And that means once a week we get to come together like this and have some great discussion that everybody else in the whole wide world can join into if they want. and we can look at life and we can work on planning, helping different candidates. You know, we're going to have different candidates come on the show and talk to us. And we'll have them talk about Common Core, and we'll talk have them talk about sovereignty issues, and we'll have them talk about getting back to the basics and making their message stay there. And we're gonna continue to keep on keeping on. We got some great things coming up on this show. And the reason why we do this is because we know that we live in a better nation than what we're told we are. That's really the point of what Evan Syatt made last night on politics and religion. We're a lot better nation than we're trying to be, than they try and tell us that we are. And we're going to keep reaching out. We're going to keep bringing stuff up like Red Skelton. Did you say 68, 69? Because I was born in December of 68. So with that, I will pass it on to Rodney, and we'll go on around the table again.
Sorry, I was on mute. So, you know, with this entire week, Scott, it's just been crazy. I actually attended my local county's central committee meeting last night. And for the third month in a row, they didn't even have a quorum. It's not just the Republican Party imploding and people leaving the party, which we've discussed this before, that, you know, every time one of our good guys leave, we leave them in charge to do what they want. And I'm just scared because this next month coming up, you've got the state convention in California for the Republican Party, and the convention's in Anaheim again. And you got a guy like Tim Donnelly running for governor. He's running against the power machine like Abel Maldonado. I can already see the establishment lining up behind Maldonado, because he's got the money and Donald doesn't. And it just blows my mind. Abel Maldonado is the man responsible for the largest tax increase in California history. Also, our top two primary systems. He was given the lieutenant governorship by Schwarzenegger as a thank you for raising our taxes. And they're going to line up behind this guy and leave a guy like Donnelly hanging, who's a Tea Party favorite. It's shocking to me. And like I said last night, Central Committee, not just the fringe Republicans who are leaving the party, but the people who are actually got elected to Central Committee, but they have this ego, they have this power trip, and they won't even show up. They can't even get a quorum. So last night was pretty much just the single most boring Central Committee meeting I've ever been to in my entire life. You know, and then you get glimmers of hope at the same time last night in Fresno County. The old chairman had resigned, but they had an election. Young up-and-coming kid, I admire him very much, and I had endorsed him. I helped get him Tom McClintock's endorsement, and he actually beat out the establishment guy and won the chairmanship. And so, you know, there's small glimmers of hope on the horizon, but there's a whole lot of Abel Maldonado out there right now, and it just blows my mind. I'm not sure this is 2008, 2010, 2012. You see that conservative wave that starts with Montrose back east, and it flies across America, and it dies on the California coastline. And, you know, you're down south, so I'm not even sure you have any Republicans where you live. But other than
you
that,
know what? I'm in Tulare County. I'm up in the foothills in Tulare County, and we're pretty conservative up here. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I'm in Springville, which is only 2,000 people. So
there you go.
It's been
fun
to watch some of these little things. You know, people think I'm, you know, out in the middle of they think of California as being everything liberal, and our little school district hasn't had one little incident that would even look like Common Core. And they check lunches and put kids in order of the healthy lunches. And let me tell you, that went over like a lead balloon. And there were parents down at the office. Sedena's class voted 19 for Romney and 4 for Obama, and she's in the 5th grade. So that kind of gives you an idea. You're Rodney.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Olsen brothers from GoCo are down there in Tulare County. So I love the ag show. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, there's – and if you look at California, it's like the United States. It's almost all red. And yet we keep losing. And your assemblyman, Frank Bigelow, was up here last night at the Central Committee meeting and was talking about what's happening in the state capitol. They're going to keep trying to put through gun control, violate our Second Amendment. They're going to keep trying to put through something to attack Proposition 13. So far, we just got, like I said last week, what is it, gasoline has gone up 26 cents a gallon in the last week and a half because the California voters passed Prop 30 to save the schools, save education, and even Governor Brown admits all the money is going to backfill the pensions of the teachers that can't be fired. So with that, I pass it to Dan or Jennifer or Stacy. Give us a glimmer of hope from the eastern side of America because Scott and I are living right mine on the left coast.
Isn't that the truth? Jennifer Montrose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. It's all yours.
Okay, good. I'm in the northeastern corner of Alabama this evening in a little town called Mentone. It's an art town. It's a good day to be an American in the United States. I will tell you, this is, we're getting ready. I'm going to be in D.C. On the 15th of July for the D.C. March for Jobs rally. We are going to be raising some noise, raising some huge noise with some major people that are going to be there to try and this immigration bill that they're trying to pass, we're hopefully going to make them think twice about it. So that I'm looking forward to. K. Carl Smith is going to be speaking along with Ted Cruz. And we have Colonel Alan West and Congressman Mo Brooks. There's quite a few others that are going to be there. It's a great lineup. I'm real excited to being able to be there. I'm going to be, you know, helping to take pictures for K. Carl Smith, the founder of the Frederick Douglass Republican Movement. We are reigniting America's passion for liberty and, we're doing what is, you know, the political game changer here to inspire people to vote their values and stuff. So he's going to get a chance to talk about immigration, you know, and I'm just real excited about that. On another note, we have, as, you know, recap from last week, Jared Markham, I'm just really grateful to all the wonderful patriots we have out there that are working hard to expose the truth, to get what's really going on in America, you know, the real deal out there for common citizens to understand what's really going on. I think we have too much of the media propaganda out there trying to promote things that really, at the end of the day, it has nothing productive to do in keeping our Constitution alive and well. So I want to pass it over to Dan.
Okay, great, Jennifer. I'm glad you're having a wonderful time up there, and sorry about our not being able to get the group down to St. Pete. But anyway, for Scott and Rodney, I was thinking, because, you know, I was living out in California for 11 years, what we need is a strategic fault line that will start, go around San Francisco and Oakland, go out offshore, back in at Berkeley, travel down past L.A., down to Huntington Beach, and then it goes offshore again. And then let that get all separated out, and then you'd have a conservative state. from I have a lot of friends in San Diego and Newport Beach who are very conservative. There's actually the majority of the state is conservative. It's just that chunk those chunks I just mentioned where basically the whole state's being shanghaied by the liberal movement out there. Sadly, Palm Springs went from being a conservative area, went to the left also. But anyway, you know, we have so many issues to deal with these days. You know, I look back at, it was 69-70 that Red Skelton did that. And, you know, I look at it from a different, you know, I know what this country was like and how beautiful it was and how, you know, we had our problems. But, you know, something, we were all united as one. And people have lost track of that. People have lost that patriotic feeling. We had an incident where the Mexican flag was being thrown over the Stars and Stripes, and a Vietnam veteran came in, took down the flags, cut the American flag, the rope that held the American flag, and took the American flag away, and he said it right on TV. He said, "I'm not going to let my flag be disgraced." Well, you know something, our flag is our most important symbol in this nation. We talk about, you know, the great experiment. The great experiment is to show the world that people from all over the world can unite as one under a flag, under a common belief. And they're not teaching this in our schools these days. This Common Core stuff is, sorry to say, it is a carbon copy of Hitler Youth. And I hate to mention that because, you know, of the atrocities that happened in those days. But this is how it all began. If we look back on history, you know, Hitler came to power offering his people... He gave them pride, and he gave them jobs. He turned around because of creating his war machine and creating a synthetic wartime economy. He got people back to work. He created the VW bug so the common person could have a vehicle to drive around in. Back in those days, that was something unheard of. So before he launched his true campaign and, you know, showed his true colors, he had installed a pride in his people. See, this is a dangerous thing. It's through misleading the public, as this administration is doing, he's leading us down the same path. And that's why I keep on going back, referring to the 30s, because as we spoke before, history has a bad tendency of repeating itself. And this is a prime example of history repeating itself, and it's up to us to stop it before it goes too far. Scott, Bond, over to you.
Oh, so definitely right. You know, it always goes back around in a pattern. And you know, I'm glad Rodney kind of brought up a little bit about California politics, because over the last 2.5 years, I've used California politics as an example many times in talking with people about back east politics. You know, we passed Prop 8 with 60% of the population that voted. You would think that Prop 8 in California should have lost by the same margin. Californians are not as liberal as everybody thinks they are. We just have hijacked very liberal Sacramento. And we've got some areas. You know, when you go back into that Old Testament, you find those areas that were seaports tended to have a little bit more sin. We got more seaports than most people have got, so that doesn't help. But California just really is not. The people are not as liberal as what everybody is projected out to see. I've got two maps, and they're in my blog at Scotty's Rants at WordPress. It's on an article on something else, but there's two maps of California and the breakdown. The breakdown of the vote for Prop 8 and the breakdown of the vote for the election that happened in 2008. And there is a very, very clear distinction where all of the liberalism is concentrated. But, Rodney, we're getting ready to face it again. You laid it out. It's why I spend my time helping everybody else out and try and just leave California is what I really want to do sometimes. How in the world are we going to get this fight between the establishment and who they're going to coronate and get the grassroots in California to wake up and realize that if they would get up off the couch, we could take this state back with a very strong grassroots. We could do it in a heartbeat. How in the world, Rodney, out here in California, are we going to wake these people up?
I'm thinking basically beat our head against the wall and make a fool of ourselves, because otherwise they won't listen. It shocked me. I know last night, I was at the Central Committee meeting, and we had three really good conservatives on the Central Committee, and they were just pissed off at one thing or another, and it's actually insignificant small stuff, and they resigned. And the one lady tells me, well, they'll collapse and they'll fall apart and we'll get to rebuild a new Central Committee. I said, no, you resign and the guy you don't like is now going to appoint someone to replace you. I just wild guess here, going to be a friend of his that he will get a vote from and won't argue with him at every meeting. And she goes, oh, well, oops. I'm like, yeah, oops. You know, and it just shocks me that people, they run on emotion or they run on, it doesn't matter to me right now. And by the time it does, it's too late. You know, by the time it's already on the Senate floor to take away your Prop 13, cost you more taxes, or take away your guns or your ammunition, you know, it's too late to try and fight it then. And I don't know, it scares me. I can't imagine. I mean, the number of people, Chuck DeVore, his wife Diane, and about half my friends, the path of success and sanity in California is I-10 to Texas.
Yeah, you got it. Working hard on it. You know what?
Yeah.
Rodney, here's what I don't understand. We are sitting on the world's best illustration. We got stricter gun control here than anywhere else, and the worst gun problem. So how is it that our candidates are not able to get that across to their constituents?
Yeah, well, you know, a friend of mine put a Facebook post up yesterday that was, our country's falling apart, our constitution's being thrown in the trash, and our rights are being taken away. Please, Facebook me about your Subway sandwich again, please.
Exactly. I'm telling you, it just does. It makes me crazy. Stacey, I'm going to be in Alabama, see? I'll be closer to come down and help you and Jennifer out there on things in Alabama. And I'll be a little closer to go down to Florida when I get out to Texas, because I'm going. Stacey, add to it.
You better keep a check on those gas prices with all that driving. It's getting ridiculous.
It's $4.69 a gallon.
Oh, my, yeah. Oh, Rodney, didn't you say last week how much of it was taxes? Just taxes and the gas.
Yeah, 79 cents per gallon is taxes.
Well, y'all, I am 28 years old when I started driving. And I feel like I'm 90 right now, but when I started driving, gas was less than a dollar. That's how much it's come, 13 years, well, something like that. I wanted to touch on what the conversation you guys were having and throw in maybe what's destroying all of that is the lack of morality. People are so excited to have taken God out of school and out of government and out of state and taken prayer and crosses down, and there's just excitement to remove Christianity and anything. But with doing that, morality was taken away. Kids aren't taught what's right and what's wrong anymore, and I think that that's what's causing what's happened in California, and I think it's trickling out here maybe quicker than we think, because every time I turn around here in this very, very conservative state, people are spouting socialist comments, and they don't even realize they're socialist. I mean, in the classes that I'm taking, students will say, well, I feel like you should do what's best for everybody. Well, that's not how America works, and I don't think that the, quote, leaders in the Republican Party, and everybody says this, but I don't think that they are doing their job. Because while we sent them up there to represent us, I also think we sent them up there to teach conservatism. Because conservatism works, first of all, and it's not hard to explain, Scott, you know that, and it's important to explain. And when kids go off on the college and they start being praised for making statements like, we should do what's best for the whole, and nobody questions them, and they're out in, like, the middle of Missouri or down here in Alabama, and 5 years from now, when they have their own company or they have their own kids, it's spreading and spreading and spreading, and it becomes a virus. It's a little bit scary, but it's obvious where the problem is. The problem or the issue that we're fighting is how to reverse it. How do we get morality back in there? How do we show people how important hurdles are? Scott?
Exactly. You better believe it. And we dropped Jennifer. She's having a hard time staying logged in tonight, so we'll catch her when we can. So we'll just throw it back on down to Dan.
Well, I agree 100% about the morality. And I think really it's we have to change tactics. You see, I agree 300%, and I said it earlier, how God needs to be in the center of our country. But the way to achieve that is not by preaching and not by trying to get people to see it our way. The whole key is to get people to make that decision on their own. And what it needs to be is a series of seeds planted. And first starting out with bringing, you know, gaining control the Republican Party and the conservative movement. And we do that simply by telling the truth. You know, when they want to engage us in these arguments on abortion, gay rights, and everything like that, we return to our foundations. Our nation was built, whether people like it or not, it was built on Christian foundations. It was started by a group of people trying to seek out religious freedom from a tyrannical government who was dictating on how they were to pray to God. This is our foundation. We hear rumors today of that in being taught in colleges how this was an experiment on big business. Well, the thing is, they go to the Declaration of Independence and use that, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, as the example of rich people being the ones in charge. Well, they failed to realize these rich people were people, our nation had been around for almost 200 years at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence under the crown. And when we signed over, yes, they were affluent people, but they had scraped and they had built. They were the first ones to start the American dream. And then now, the one thing that, again, they fail to say is that, yes, these were rich people. 75% of them, by the end of the Revolutionary War, were destitute. They had given up their entire fortunes, everything they had, to support the Revolution. 10 of them died during the war fighting it. And why? Because of their firm belief in what we stood for and what we were becoming as a nation. You see, so much of history is thrown out the door and stampeded on and forgotten, and they don't spread the truth. We go up to present day here, where our elected officials are supposed to be the ones that represent us. I went to Congressman Gus Bilirakis and requested a meeting with him, and I couldn't even get a return reply, not even a no. They just ignored me because of previous emails I had sent, spreading my belief. This is what our government's become. They no longer listen to the people. They think they're in charge, not us. And the fact is, the United States Constitution specifically says we the people. We are the government, not you. You're only the elected officials. And this is why I'm pushing for term limits. I say that, if you don't listen to us, we can kick your butt out of there. I'm sick of this thing being, this whole political system is being run by money and not the truth. We have to educate people not to watch the boob tube all the time and start really listening into what people have to say. Today's today it's who has the biggest pocketbook. Now, Obama was supported by, Wall Street. The richest person in Congress is Kerry. He married into the Heinz fortune. There are more millionaire Democrats than millionaire Republicans. These are all facts. The people are led to believe that it's the Republicans with all the money, when in fact it's just the opposite. The Republicans are the everyday people. They're the ones fighting for the middle class. They're the ones who are trying to promote our Constitution, our equal rights, our very foundation of bringing God back into our nation. There's no place in the First Amendment that says that I cannot put a nativity scene in the town square. That's up to the individual towns and the people there, not one atheist who comes up and starts complaining and then having the U.S. Supreme Court stepping in and saying, passing some cockamamie law. This is where we're being totally destroyed, is we have right now a liberal Supreme Court who obviously doesn't know a darn thing about the U.S. Constitution, regardless of what they say, because they have violated it so many darn times, it's unbelievable. Attaching laws to the amendments is not part of our Constitution. Our Constitution has a specific means of changing amendments. If you don't like what's in an amendment, you pass another amendment, not attach a law to try to circumvent it. And this is what people don't understand. We need to return to our origins. We need to hold these people accountable. And we need to go up there and say enough is enough. We need somebody with the nerve to stand up against the U.S. Supreme Court who says, listen, you're violating the Constitution. Why? Here. Look at the Federalist Papers. Sorry I'm on a rant here, but these are our problems, is that we've lost total touch with our foundations. And if we're going to return morality, we need to go back to our origins. I guess enough said right now, so I'll pass it back over to you, Scott.
Amen. And I think we've got Jennifer Montrose back in. Oh, wait a minute. She's out again. Yep, she's gone. She's having an awful time keeping in there. She keeps popping onto the board and disappearing and popping back onto the board. That's what happens when you have one of your co-hosts calling in from on the road, you know. That's the way it works. So, but you know, Dan, you know, you make the most important, the foundational problem of all this. And I alluded it to it, but I always just say it this way, like, get off the couch. You know, we've got so many things in this country that are great. We've got wonderful, wonderful technology. But there's a certain morality that the people have to hold together in using that technology. And I'm not talking about issues of pornography. I'm talking about general morality. You know, when you start to use the machine so much that your kids don't get your attention, that's just as bad as anything. We got into somehow, some way, and I'm not quite sure how we got here. We got into a lifestyle in this country as a whole of turning on that television the moment we get up and turning it off the moment we go to sleep. I always left it on all night long. I woke up to Fox News with the TV going. If I woke up enough to flip it off, I would have woke up enough to stay awake and have to turn it back on again. But we have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week entertainment and so many different things. And we're living the good life so well that most people are not paying attention. They don't realize where we're going right now. Those of us on this call, we see a momentum in a certain direction, and we know what the conclusion of that is. A lot of the people in this country just don't know it, and it's because there's so many things. Turn off that boob tube. I love that. I love that, Dan, let me tell you. Because there are so many important things that we've got to take care of in this country. You know, Common Core is just one of many aspects that were laid down all at the same time to take as much control as could be taken. And they all follow the same pattern. Obamacare and Common Core, in putting together an operation in every aspect, they're the same foundational principles that they used on both of those. And a lot of these other things that are going on, we've got to figure out a way. I guess if we just unplugged everybody's cable boxes, but that might take a little while. You know, Rodney, when you do this, you've taken your time over the years to, in different ways, educate people on different issues. You've been successful at some of it. You know, I pass it back to you.
Well, you know, it goes back to, and by the way, you know, turning off the TV, I would have missed that 2 a.m. sci-fi channel, you know, the Yeti woken up in the Nevada desert by college kids. But, you know, no, it's just, when I go out there and I talk to people, it's just bringing a different sense of what you can accomplish. A lot of times, you know, you talk about the social media and stuff, you know, I mean, the number of times you get the email, you know, boycott Pepsi because they're going to put Muslim symbol on the Pepsi cans. And it's like, dude, seriously, okay? You know, I used to have an email that was, forward this to your friends because they deserve to be as annoyed as I was at your last email, you know. And I hate when you don't forward it and you die the next day. But, you know, you talked earlier about Dan talked with morals and Stacy talked about hurdles. I think it's more about hurdles. You know, what happened in California? You got to remember what so goes California, so goes the nation. You know, this dates back to the 1970s, 1960s. The Vietnam War, the anti-Vietnam War started in Berkeley. Pretty much every little hippie tree-hugging whack job starts in Berkeley and then filters across the country from there.
And, you know, then you get them in Alabama bugging Jennifer Montrose, but it all starts here. And it's because since the 1950s, they have just been drilling it step by step, baby steps at a time. Like I said before, the Republican Party, the conservatives, we want to win it all now. They don't care if it takes 20 years. They'll baby step along in small increments to the point where we can't even pass, you know, Prop 8 passed saying no to gay marriage, and the courts overturned it. So what you vote on has no relevance whatsoever, you know, and that's just how it goes, because we've created an entire generation in California of, I can live at my parents' house till I'm 26. The hurdles have been taken down. All I've got to do is walk half the track, and I'm done. There's no competition. You know, they talk about taking computers from a warehouse to an iPhone was innovation developed by people like Steve Jobs in the Silicon Valley. Nowadays, the Silicon Valley is Starbucks and a grocery store. There's no innovation. There's nothing new coming out. And if it is, it's coming from a foreign country, not from us. And we don't have the mind. We've not taught our children to innovate, to you know, like I said last week, when I was used to be on the ski team, the coach said, if you don't fall, you didn't try. And we don't teach that anymore. You know, so there was a comedian on TV the other night, my wife and I were watching it, and I was like, oh, I got to bring that up to Scott. It was this dude talking about in America, you know, these parents, oh, Scott, it's okay if you got bad grades. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. You go to Japan, and it's like, if you get a B, I kill you. You know, and their children are straight-A students. Our kids are flunking out of school. Wow. Wonder why. So we've not only lost our morals, we've taken down the hurdles. They don't exist anymore. We don't teach our kids there is a thing called hurdles anymore. It'll be okay. So, you know, like I said, I've said it many times, my dad is 12 years old. You want a candy bar? Go earn it. And so I've had a paycheck two times in my entire life because I just go out and do what needs to be done. And that's what a lot of us do, which is not enough of us. And you're right. California is not a blue liberal state. It's a blue liberal mindset. And we need to get back to basics. You know, Dan talks about morals and everything else. And Scott, you and I have talked before. Get to the basics. Three things. Less government, less taxes, Constitution, Founding Fathers. Stop there. We need to start baby-stepping our way back. It's not going to happen overnight. Pass it to Dan. Unless Montrose is on.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab it real quick because we've got a very special person that called in, one of my favorite people. You know, I'm partial to Alabama. Part of it's Jennifer Montrose's fault. Part of it is a few other people down there that I'm going to tell you, Alabama is rocking. They are doing stuff. They are the antithesis of what's going on in California. There's not people down there laying on their couches. And it has been impressive to watch. You know, I absolutely enjoyed nothing more than spending time helping Don Chamberlain last year. I'm going to tell you, I've got a special place in my heart for Alabama, even though we're going to Texas. We're not going to come all the way to Alabama as much as I love what's going on. But Jonathan Barbie, let me tell you, knows how to message. We've discussed that. Jonathan, we have discussed that show you were on at least every week. I brought something out of that show back into another show because we really, really hit the basics on all this. And we've grown a little bit. We got Rodney Stanhope out here in California helping. We've got Dan Wilson down in Florida helping, and we got a great team. I want to bring you in for conversation. Thank you for showing up, Jonathan Barbie. How you doing?
I'm great, Scott. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I always enjoy the show and the topics and talking about children and families and Common Core and Constitution and the state of our country, you know. I think it's an important thing. I guess the topic I want to bring up tonight, and I've titled it, Justice for Matthew Owens. Now, I don't know if y'all know who Matthew Owens is, but Matthew Owens and it happened in Mobile, Alabama here Saturday night. A mob full of people got this young man and beat him up with paint cans and brass knuckles and metal pipes and beat him almost to death. He's in a hospital in critical condition right now. And as they were walking away, they said, now that's justice for Trayvon. And I just want to talk about tonight how parents are bringing up their kids to promote racism and promote this injustice and promote this anarchy that is happening in our country right now. It's just a sad thing. You know, I read the article, watched the story on it. Nobody has come forward. Now, you would think a mob of 20 people, they told one friend or another friend or a neighbor or somebody saw this mob of 20 people beat this guy up. Not one person has come forward, and that was Saturday night. And this man is lying in the hospital almost dead from being beaten, all because he went out into the street and told these kids they needed to get out of the street and go home. It was about 8:30, 9 o'clock on Saturday night, and they were playing basketball in the middle of the road. And so he came out and he said, y'all need to go home. They went back, got family members and friends and older brothers, and they came back as a mob and beat this guy up. But what does that say about the state of our children these days? What does that say about parents who are teaching their kids that it's okay to beat this guy up just because he's white? You know, and I say that with a lot of care, because there's a lot of racism all over the country. But when you look at this and you clearly see it's a hate crime, you wonder if these people will be charged with a hate crime when they come forward. And so that's the topic I'm on tonight. You know, it has to do with teaching your kids at home values and teaching your kids at home that this kind of behavior is not okay. And we're going to see this more and more, I'm afraid. And it's going to be just blown off and say, well, you know, it's okay, it's okay. Something recently happened in Chicago last week, too, where a person was robbed in Chicago, and the people actually admitted that they had sat down and chosen a white person to rob. And they specifically did said because they were mad about the Trayvon Martin case. And they're actually being charged with a hate crime out of Chicago, which I thought was very interesting. So I guess that's my topic tonight. What do you think about that, Scott?
You know, I hate stuff like this, because stuff like this could be solved so easily with just a little good parenting in the home that teaches young children that as you grow up, you be nice to people. It is not difficult to teach that one basic, but we're obviously not. And that doesn't mean we're ever going to get to a perfect society, but it's the stem. It's the stem of our problem. We've got, you know, we're all of a certain age bracket. I think Stacy's the youngest. But, you know, it was 1987 when I graduated from high school. And there are people that were born as I was graduating that are starting to have children. And I know how much was left out of the understanding of my generation. And I know it's a whole lot worse for what's going on in this next generation. You know, it used to be standard that you taught your kids how to at least the alphabet and to read before they get to school. And now we got problems all over the country of kids getting to just the basics of trying to get into kindergarten and having a problem because nobody's helped them with anything. And so, Jonathan, I think you took it right exactly back to where it needs to be laid on the shoulders. And that's why I love it when you come on this show, because I know you know where the real problem is. We cannot fix the politics of this if we don't get fixing it in the home. And we're wasting our time if we're never going to get it fixed in the home. Because we're gonna looking at in 20 years another generation that's grown up with the iPhone and a lot of different things that none of us even conceived of having as children. The fight gets harder and harder as we go along. Rodney, I'll pass it back to you. And if anybody wants to talk back and forth with Jonathan, and we'll just do our roundtable. My voice is starting to go, as you can tell. I'm sounding kind of like something is going away. So I'll pass it back to you guys. Jonathan, thanks so much for calling on. I'm so glad you brought up the subject, and we're going to run with it. And pass it back to you, Rodney, and around the table.
Oh, I just got to say, we need to have Jonathan come out here to California because along with Kay Carl, I think just bringing the two of them into California for even 2 days would raise the value of California brain work or brain trust about 1,000 times. He's right. You know, not only like we talked earlier with morals and with the hurdles, but we've said it before, it takes a parent, not a village. And to teach your kids it's okay to do that just blows my mind. I mean, I am absolutely shocked. And we see it out here all the time with, you know, the wrong person in the wrong neighborhood, and it's just, why? But then again, I love the Facebook post. Someone said, you know, it's got a picture of a kid in school, and it says, a Bible's not allowed here, and it's got a guy sitting in jail, but it is allowed here. Do you see a problem with this?
That's right.
So
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge issue, is that we no longer teach values in school, the kind of values that our country was founded on, regardless of what anybody thinks about religious freedom or freedom from religion or freedom of religion. Our country is founded by godly men, and I'm just going to say that. And I don't care what anybody wants to say to turn that down and deny it, but these godly men founded our country with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and they declared independence on July the 4th, this last holiday. And they founded our country on these values because they knew that's the way our values needed to be, and that's the way people needed to be brought up, to treat each other with love, kindness, and respect. We don't have that anymore in this country. We have no accountability anymore in this country. And that's probably one of the largest problems that we have, is accountability. Who's accountable for beating this guy up out of the mob of 20 people? Who's going to be held accountable for it? And when they're held accountable for it, are they going to be held accountable for it the right way? Are they going to be held accountable as a hate crime? Or are they just going to be held accountable for some simple assault? And that's the problem. We're setting a standard in our country. Our kids have watched the last 10, 15, 20 years of no accountability. Oh, that's okay. They got off with a slap on the wrist. Oh, that's okay. And we have watched people be allowed to do gruesome and grueling things with the intention of hate in their heart. And it's never been brought to the table of why they've done things with hate in their heart and that this is wrong. And if you hate someone and you do a crime like this, you're going to be held accountable for it. And we're not teaching those values in our homes. And you have to look at this area in Mobile. This is the area that happened is a more poor area that it happened, and it's in an area over by the airport down in Mobile, and it's apparent, if you look at some of the statistics and the numbers coming out of the news director down at the CBS affiliate down there, and I were talking earlier, if you look at the numbers coming out of this situation, you have a lot of parents. Well, first of all, you have a lot of children who don't have fathers in that area. Second of all, you have a lot of parents that work two jobs, or mothers that work two jobs. And the kids are being raised by these other people in gangs, and these same people who teach them that it's okay to take a mob of 20 people and beat a guy up. And that's fundamentally what is wrong with America right now. It's the same mentality.
Well, and you're going to get the when and if they find these kids that beat that guy up, you're going to get the parents standing up there on a news camera going, my child was innocent, and this is all false because you have, you know, parents asleep at the wheel. But and in terms of teaching morals, or there's a price to pay, you know, we've turned this entire country into it's the criminals versus the victim. And all the criminal has to do is, you know, attack the victim and, you know, find the guy raped a woman, but then, you know, 18 years ago she had a one-night stand and the guy gets off. It's like there is no accountability. And, you know, you mentioned the 4th of July, celebrating our nation's birth, and I also mentioned Memorial Day. This was one of my biggest pet peeves. The day that celebrates our nation's birthday and Memorial Day that celebrates and honors the troops, and 90% of the kids in today's society think it's basically a camping trip and daddy's getting drunk, because that's what the holidays are. They have absolutely no clue what those holidays were for. I don't know. What was the one school my friend's kid went to, and
half the class can't even recite the Pledge of Allegiance. They have no clue what it means. You know, and I had an argument with somebody regarding the flag touching the ground, and they had no clue why the flag's not supposed to touch the ground. Because of when Francis Scott Key wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, or the song Star Spangled Banner, because guys, they wanted to destroy the city, the fort, and if the flag came down, they won. And men gave their lives to hold that flag up so it wouldn't touch the ground. And for me, my grandfather was Navy, my dad was Marines, I was Navy, my son is currently Marine. That means something to me. And you hear people have absolutely no clue why the flag's not supposed to touch the ground. What is 4th of July supposed to represent? What is Memorial Day? They don't know. They have no clue. And no one's teaching them. You're right. They're being raised by fellow punks that are being stupid. So.
Hey, Roddy,
Go ahead, Dan.
Stacey, go ahead. To add to that, you know, Memorial Day, when I was raised, and I'm sorry, I come from a different generation, my dad was doing an international conference, and it was back in the late 60s, and he decided to take us along with him to Europe. And one of the first places we went to visit was the American Cemetery in Luxembourg, which is where all the Americans were buried from the Battle of the Bulge. And to walk down those aisles of graves and seeing every fourth or fifth grave saying, "Here lies a comrade known only but to God." And then we walked up, and we saw in a semicircle around was this one grave sitting by itself, and it was General George S. Patton. And later on in the trip, we went over to Dachau and went into the concentration camp to see the atrocities of what we were fighting for. And to me, that was so, so real. I grew up in New England. We walked around, you know, I walked around Walden's Pond. One of the places we went to was where Longfellow wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. And this history, you know, we knew it was not only given to us, it was shown to us. And we were embracing, it was all around me growing up. And today, children, parents are not taking the time to take their children, partially due to economics and partially due to time constraints. And, you know, I hear people blaming the system and everything. Well, you know, the fact is, the reason why we have to have two families out there today is taxation. I'm about to bring this touch base with this a little bit because, you know, a product before it reaches the store shelves is taxed 17 times. And this is why we are forced, that money has to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, it always goes down to the worker, you know. And then we look at today, we have a president trying to divide our nation. The Zimmerman trial, and I am furious with it because I live here. Scott, you know, I live about 45 minutes away from where this took place. And I heard, you know, the original trial, I mean, the original incident from day one. And there was not even the slightest inclination of pressing charges because it was so lopsided. The trial has proved that also. But you know something? Eric Holder gave a call to the district attorney here in Orlando and forced charges being pressed. The DA, in turn, with backing of the president from the White House, had the chief of police removed and the lead investigator demoted. This case entirely comes from Washington. And then we have a whole group of very uneducated people who are following it, believing race, 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 when in fact, if we are being totally honest, a white man was never involved. The person, Zimmerman, his mother is from Peru, right off the boat. She is an immigrant. His father is white. Well, guess what? Our president, his mother was white, and his father was Kenyan. So he's as white as Obama is. And yet, you know something? People are going out and they're rioting just for the sake of hatred. And the hatred's not coming from the part of the whites. It's coming from the part of the blacks, and it's sad because they hide under something that doesn't even exist. And in this case, they don't even have the right race involved. But that doesn't matter. It gives them an excuse to fight and argue and hurt people. And again, it starts from the home. One of the reasons I would never even dream about going out there or anybody else in this panel is we were raised with moralities. And it started with the real simple basics, please and thank you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Very, very basic. We knew that Christmas time was not a time to go out and get drunk or anything, or it was a time for family. Today, it's a time for who gets the most presents, and then everybody goes their separate ways. Thanksgiving is the same way. Oh, it's a good time to pick out, and let's not worry about it. They forgot why we celebrate Thanksgiving. That first year that the pilgrims arrived, well, they were starving to death. And they were going into, you know, if it wasn't for the Native Americans, they would have died. But they were taught, and people worked together, even back then. And, you know, today we've created this racist thing. And even amongst, let's take the Native Americans. One of my friends in Palm Springs is a Serrano Indian, who's part of the Mission Band of Morongo Indians. And he's 86 years old today, six handicap golfer. But anyway, he was part of the 82nd Airborne. And he arrived at D-Day plus two. And went behind the lines, was actually 15 miles away from his original group, and had to fight back through enemy lines by himself to get back amongst the American troops. This guy was a person who, when he came home, was not even allowed to buy a drink. But never in my life I have met a more proud American, and one who, if you ever disgrace the flag in any way, shape, or form, if he ever saw the flag hit the ground, he'd go ballistic. And this is supposedly a person who's supposed to be discriminated against and, you know, put down, and yet you are not going to find a prouder American. And why? Because it was raised by his father, who was out there actually using a bow and arrow to put food on the table. I mean, this is how insane things have become today, because people don't see where we're from. They don't understand that. And if we don't return to our foundations and we allow this to continue, and I agree with you, Rodney, it's going to take a long time because it's going to have to be a series of education. We have to sit back and teach the people. First, you know, the history of the Republican Party, and set the truth straight. We need politicians who are brave enough to not go along with status quo and who are willing to speak the truth. And when the Democrats trying to switch the subject to something else, return it to the core. and use the truth. Don't engage in these battles. Use the truth. The truth will set us free, and it will return us to the great nation that we are. We are the. I've traveled all over the place, and I can truthfully say through firsthand experience, there's not a place I am prouder than right here in the U.S. of A., and I am proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a patriot. And, yes, I will give everything, including my life, to this country without hesitation. Why? Because I believe that much in this country. And, Jennifer, on over to you. Or Stacy.
Jennifer's gone. We'll go ahead and pass it on down to Stacy.
Okay, I wanted to touch on lots. First, Jonathan, thanks for coming on again. I really appreciate you jumping in at the last minute. I wanted to add to what you said about the parents and the gangs and everything that's being taught in those communities. And I think a big issue that we're facing is, in that situation too, there's a lack of information. They're low information people, because our society has become so politically correct. And I feel like, as conservatives, it's time for us to channel Andrew Breitbart and call it like we see it. These kind of crimes happen between, or black on black, and they're Latino on Latino. They happen in cities, in poverty, in ghettos. And why are we not talking about that? Why are we not raising up our voices for our fellow Americans? We are a different race, but we are Americans. Those are our brothers and sisters. And it's our duty to look out for them and help those children, but nobody is speaking to it, because it's not politically correct to say there two black men shot each other in Chicago. Well, Chicago has a problem. Let's say it. Black people are killing people. Let's say it. If you can't confront the issue, there's no way to get past it. And if we come out strong and go for communities and be on their side and let them know that we're supporting them, that we're not against them, and that we want to actually help, not just rhetoric, but we want to do something, just say, you know, we're not coming in, we're not busting in your community to try to fix your problems. That's not who we are. But what can we do to help you? What can we do to help you overcome this? Because it's natural for us as human beings to want to succeed. It's natural for us to, well, most of us, to help other people. And if we can get to a point where we can be upfront and have a discussion with someone about race, then we have a better chance of getting some of that crime down, getting some of that hate down, so that generation after generation doesn't continue to teach their children that you're supposed to hate white people. And last week we had Wayne Dupree on, and it was really eye-opening, because there are black people who also, you know, feel the same way, that it's time to get rid of the wall of race and call things like it is, and stop being afraid of being called a racist by the media. And I think that would be a great place to start in helping get rid of that violence, because we're not going to reach the parents. We're not going to reach the mom who is teaching her child to hate white people, because we're white people. It's going to take some critical thinking and some real action. And Rodney, I wanted to tell you, my children don't say the pledge at school anymore. And I've had to teach the pledge at home. They don't learn Memorial Day anymore. They don't learn Veterans Day. They don't learn what Columbus Day is. They have no idea that something happened on 9/11. So we do a good bit of homeschooling here too. And while it's our job as parents to teach those things, it seems to me that maybe schools should be teaching history. Scott? I'm sorry, Rodney?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm here. Sorry, I'm in my pool. I was on mute. So
I forgot, but Scott Felice is not a friend tonight.
Yep. So, you know, Stacy, you're right. It's and I had a friend of mine text me, wants to know, what's the solution? We talked about what's wrong in the world, but what's the solution? And it is the simplest thing. Do something. Say something. I challenge every listener who's listening to this show tonight, no matter what state you're in, no matter what county you're in, it is July of 2013. In 2014, we have elections. Go find somebody running for school board, fire board, parks and rec. Find somebody running. Find a campaign. Find somebody and do something to fundamentally change this country. It's going to take you doing something. And you can't sit around and wait for somebody else to fix it for you. You actually have to get up and do it. Go make some phone calls. Go talk to your neighbors. Write a letter to the editor. I guarantee you, no matter where you live in America, come 2014, you've got no less than 30 elections on your ballot. Find one. Find one and figure it out. Scott said earlier, shut the TV off, get off your butt, and get out there and do something. Stop listening to the media. Stop listening to your friends. Read it yourself. There's absolutely no way. I don't know anybody who doesn't know how to access Google. You hear something, Google it. Don't just run with it. Get the facts and figure it out. It doesn't mean you have to attend 900 meetings because you have a job. Stacy, you're a single mom with a job, multiple jobs. You don't have to do 900 meetings. You don't have to attend everything. You're not the watch job that's going to save America. Do one thing. Figure it out and do something. I challenge every listener here to do one thing this week, something to bring this country back. And if we all did it, change would happen. And I'm talking about real change, not the change left in our pocket after 6 years of Obama. Pass it to Dan.
I agree with you completely, Rodney. Every place I go, whether it's, you know, going out today with washing my car, I stop and I'll talk to somebody. And I don't present it as a Republican or anything like that. I'll go in and just kind of open up conversation. And when people start complaining, I said, you know, more people need to go out and start doing things. And they're like, well, what can we do? And I said, you know, first thing we do is take a look at what's going on in local politics. Find somebody you like, get behind them, and promote them. And then I said, you know, then we go out to the voting booth. Well, my vote doesn't count. Yes, it does. Every vote counts. See, people are so disgusted, and, you know, they're throwing in the towel, and that's not the solution. That's what the other side wants. Our solution is to get out there and use our constitutional rights to change things. And then I talk, you know, if somebody's willing to listen, I'll go into history and, you know, do my normal thing. But most of the time, I just kind of just touch bases with them. And if every person out here, you know, we have several thousand people listening to us, if all of you just did that, asked your neighbor, you know, kind of saying, hey, you know, and, you know, what do you think is going on? Well, nobody likes what's going on right now. We all agree with that. And, you know, say, well, you know, let's start doing something about it. You know, let's start on the local level, because they don't understand that it's at the local level where the whole thing starts. It goes from the local county, then the state, and from the state we send people out to Washington. Well, if we develop the state aspect and get the appropriate people in, will attract the appropriate people to go to Washington. And this is what the key is. It's not going to, you know, if we go to Washington, I just prove that, you know, just going to, like, trying to get my stupid congressman, you know, and the guy doesn't even have the nerve to return my calls because I'm not a rhino like him. Well, you know something? It's like, remember, I elected you. you know, it was me and other people. And, you know, I'm not going to support somebody who's not even going to bother, not even sending me a message, let alone, you know, no. You know, this is where our country has gone to. And, you know, we need to fight back. We need to turn around. Parents need to educate their children. The Pledge of Allegiance, as I said, every time I listen to that Red Skelton skit, I cry. And now today they've removed it. How dare they? But this, you know... Yeah, go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned earlier people, they say that my vote doesn't count. I got the easiest answer to that. Every one of you guys need to use this. Somebody says they don't vote because it doesn't matter, etc. Tell them to go pick up. Hugh Hewitt wrote a book in 2003. If it's not close, they can't cheat. I still have it. Love that book. Make them read it.
I agree. I mean, we need to get people out there off the damn couch and turn off the damn boob tube and get out there. I mean, I love that comment, boob tube, because, well, it makes boobs out of all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's, I grew up in the days, you know, black and white TV where, you know, you struggled with the antennas. And what we did, we went out and played the heck with the TV, you know.
Yep.
And when we watched TV, it was all wholesome. It was Red Skelton, Dean Martin. You had I Love Lucy show, you know, Lost in Space and shows like that. You know, they were My Three Sons. I know half of the people in the audience don't even know what I'm talking about. But they were very wholesome shows that never promoted violence or hatred or anything. It was always a good guy won. It showed unity with people. It showed a unification of country and a love of country. And not the crap that's coming out of Hollywood today.
Oh, God, no.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people talk about the vote doesn't count, my wife just reminded me, we had a school board race. We need to win both of them. Todd White, great conservative, won by 7 votes for school board race. In the first year, they balanced the budget. In the second year, the teachers got a raise. By the third year, and this will blow your mind, the Tea Party and the teachers going before the school board together because they're on the same page. It's about the kids.
Exactly. I mean,
7 votes.
Hey, guy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's pull Jonathan back in here and see. Jonathan, jump in and tell us about, we're trying to find solutions, and you have been in the trenches for stinking ever since you were a teenager or younger, right? What are you seeing now? And tell us a little bit about what you've done out there so that people can kind of get an idea of what action is.
Action, well, let's talk about a little bit about, I guess we should start back with kids since we're talking about a parental sovereignty radio show. And I think one important thing that we want to get back to is the stopping of Common Core. And we have to look at today's society and compare it to the society of 20 years ago or the society of 40 years ago. And yet, government is a lot different than it used to be. And it's changed over the last, you know, 60 years tremendously, becoming more liberal and more open, and let's define things down to the fine point of the law. And the ACLU has jumped in and done mostly good, I mean, mostly bad, with a few good in there every once in a while. So let's get back to the whole point. Do we want the government to mandate certain things that kids learn? No, we don't, especially the way the government is now. We want the freedom in our homes to be able to do that. And so some of the things we've done here in Alabama You know, I served as the press secretary here in Alabama. We began, and in the next session, I've already met with several senators and representatives. The next section is session we're going to have is going to be a crucial session because we're going to take up Common Core in that session. And we're also going to take up states' rights and continue to defend states' rights and local governance. And the reason for that being is because Washington is going down the tubes. And if states, you know, and for instance, Texas, they are almost like their own country because they are true to states' rights and they do things to protect the Texans. And that's what we're doing here in Alabama. And I think we're going to take, we've done a study on Common Core, and I had mentioned this last time, the study that was done to really delve into what it is, the financial responsibility that it brings to the state, the paperwork that it brings to the state, the overreaching that it does. And we're going to have a great feasibility study that's going to be done that will help explain to everyone exactly how Common Core affects you locally and how Common Core affects your state. They're also doing some things to tell the government to butt out of local politics as well. You know, we just won a Supreme Court battle. In the South, ever since the Civil Rights Movement, Southern states, especially Alabama, have had to report to the Justice Department to have approval on certain things that we do in our elections. And sometimes we've had to wait, like voter ID laws, where we're just trying to ID voters so that people don't vote 10 times, which we've had a large problem with that here in Birmingham. Ever since I was a kid and I used to work at polls, people joke about it. But literally, there would be people that would come out and they would vote 4 or 5 times, or they would vote their absentee ballots and find extra copies that would leak out of the probate judge's office, and they would vote 10 times for a candidate. And the Justice Department would not allow us to have voter ID, and it stemmed back from laws that were created during the Civil Rights Movement so that there could be equal voting. And the problem with that is the government is overreaching at that point. We have to do things locally to be able to protect voters' rights. And, you know, and y'all were talking about, hey, let's get out the vote. Let's get involved in the races. Well, that's great, but let's don't go vote 10 times. And that's a problem we were having here in Alabama. So this next election is going to be crucial because we're going to have voter ID now. And all the other states, and I've had people in certain states across America, I have a couple of friends who live up north, and they're like, well, we always have to show our license. It's required to vote. Well, you know, what's the deal with y'all down there? And it's like, well, tell the Justice Department that. They don't allow us to govern our own voting laws. And so now that the Justice Department is out of that, we are continuing to protect our rights as a state and do what is right. And that's, we're going to do the same thing with Common Core. I expect it to be voted out. I expect that we're going to drop most of, not if not all of Common Core, especially with the fight that Jennifer and Stacy and a lot of other leaders are leading in our state. And then we're also going to pass certain laws that prevent the government from overreaching. We've already passed a number of gun laws, and we have a number of gun laws in the state as far as the next session where we're going to protect gun laws even more. And it's also about protecting our children. You know, I talked last time about the Accountability Act, and I think that's a key word with the subject that I was talking about earlier. We have no accountability. There's no accountability anymore. There's no accountability for that mob of 20 who beat that young man up. You know, regardless of what he said or did, a mob of 20 people beating him up just shows you the mentality of people. Well, what we've done in our state is passed the Accountability Act during this last session, and that means we're going to start holding schools, teachers, principals, boards of education accountable for the type of education that children are getting. The city of Birmingham went crazy when we passed the Accountability Act. The teachers' union went crazy when we passed the Accountability Act. There's two reasons for that. Birmingham City Schools, just in District 2 alone of the area of Birmingham, which a friend of mine is running for city council there, Richard Rutledge, he has 4 failing schools alone in that district. The testing numbers are not matching up. The attendance numbers are not matching up. With this Accountability Act, it's going to force the schools to do what's right. It's going to force the boards of education to spend the money where they need to spend it and stop, you know, the pork belly, wasteful spending that they give to their friends to build $500,000 baseball parks in the community. I mean, these are the kind of situations we have going on. We are now holding people accountable, and we're having to force this accountability through the law. And if that's what we're having to do, that's what we're having to do. And I see this happening in so many states across our great land. People are going to begin to hold people accountable in more ways than we could ever imagine. But if that's what we have to do for a while to get our country back on track or force certain laws upon people, accountability laws, then we need to do it for everyone. Just like in the instance of this man in Mobile, you know, these people should be charged with hate crimes and held accountable for what they did. If we're going to have laws like that, it needs to be fair across the board for everyone. And I just see these changes happening. I know we're making them happen in Alabama. We also have a lot of other issues going on. We have some environmental people who have come into our state. And I know y'all understand this in California, Scott. We have a green energy group that has come from San Francisco all the way out to Alabama. And you ask, what are they doing in Alabama? Well, they're saying that our coal in Alabama is not clean. They're saying that our energy production in Alabama is not clean. First of all, it's not true. Alabama has some of the cleanest coal technology in the United States. And with new EPA regulations, all coal around the United States is set to a higher standard. And it must be a certain percentage clean when it goes out through the air and it's refined. So we have these green energy groups trying to shut our coal production down. We're going to lose nearly 10,000 jobs, and our rates are going to skyrocket to a ridiculous amount if this energy group wins. And so we've done research to get to the bottom of why they're here. They're promoting these new wind farms with these windmills that are up in the air, like Oklahoma. You know, you start driving through the plains and you see all the wind farms everywhere because you've got 50 and 60 mile an hour winds that are constantly blowing through the plains. I have to tell you, we don't have a whole lot of wind here in Alabama, except certain parts of the state, like up on the mountain. Well, this group wants to put these windmills up on top of the mountain in Alabama, the most beautiful mountain, Lookout Mountain. It's actually a tourist attraction. And they're wanting to take Obama money, grant money that he has, and install these windmills, let them run for 5 years until the grant money runs out, and then they walk away from them. No maintenance. They don't take them down, nothing. They just leave them to the property owners, because they buy the property owner's mineral rights and they put these up. Long story short, this is a big issue that we have going on right now, and so these are certain things we're trying to remain and keep our local control to keep these groups from taking over our state. And we just have so many issues here that we're fighting, and that's one of the largest issues we have right now in the trenches in Alabama is we are now fighting these green groups who are coming in and trying to put Obama's agenda and force that upon us. So we have to start at the ground level. We have to start teaching our kids the values. We have to start teaching them accountability, and we have to start teaching them right and wrong. And it's black and white. There's a clear line there. You know, it's right or it's wrong. And so that's what we're doing.
You know, Jonathan, you know, that's why I always like when you come on, because I like hearing all this stuff that's going on in Alabama, because you guys are fighting it. You're not laying down there in this. And it is there's so many things. Now, I got to ask about this, because I did not know about this. I've driven the road between Evansville, Indiana, and St. Petersburg, Florida, more times than I can count, and I have been by Lookout Mountain a lot. You're telling me that the environmentalists want to stick big fans up there, generate electricity?
Yes, they are. And they are fighting and putting millions of dollars into it. You can do a Google search and you can put green, you can do, there's several terms, green Alabama, windmills in Alabama, Public Service Commission banning coal. You can just put some keywords in there, and you'll find this group. And they are, Alabama is one of the target states that they've decided to target. And they are doing it all in the name of, quote, the future, the green future. But what it really boils down to, Scott, is it's money. That's what it boils down to. It's not about being green. these windmills, and I have talked to scientists, researchers, the Cherokee County Commission, which is one of the counties that this will be affecting. I've been in on a dozen of the meetings that they've had. The community who's like, oh, my God, please don't sell the mineral rights. The people who are like, yeah, they're going to offer me this much money just to buy my mineral rights. And the issue is about money. And what they're going to do with each one of these windmills is they're going to get a certain dollar amount, and we're researching that right now. But it's a large dollar amount to produce just one windmill. And they come and they put it in, and they built these jobs to put it in. So Obama says, hey, we're putting people to work. Well, he puts people to work temporarily to put these windmills up for maybe 3, 4, 5 months. Then they do a little maintenance on them. And then after 5 years, once the grant money runs out, you know, they go belly up, just like two of the solar panel companies went today. They went belly up and filed for bankruptcy today because the government run ran out. You know, they've been in operation for 5 years, and now they're done. And that's what people are concerned about, not just because it's going to destroy our tourist attractions on Lookout Mountain, but because when they're done, they're going to walk away and leave it. And it only produces about 5% of the energy for the whole state. If they were to put all the way across Lookout Mountain up and through Georgia, it only would produce 5% of our energy. So where's the other 95% going to come from? So it's all about money. That's all they're doing. This group out of San Francisco that wants to, quote, go green. You know, you've driven through Alabama. We have some of the cleanest air around. We don't have smog. I mean, maybe 3 days a year we have a little bit of a smog problem if it's a, you know, and those are usually the days where we have heavy pollen, and they know what I'm talking about, Jennifer and Stacy. We don't have a clean air problem here in Alabama. So they're just creating this problem so that they can get the government money, and it's all about the money. So, yes, that's the truth, Scott. That's what's going on.
See, that just always cracks me up because that is the most unenvironmentalist place you could be putting some technology is up there. I really have been enjoying this last couple of weeks listening to Evan Syhet because he does a great job of explaining why stuff like this makes you boggles your mind, makes you crazy. You know, it's just insane. I cannot open my I'm losing my voice and I'm losing my mind at the same time. I cannot say enough, though. Alabama's doing stuff, though. You guys are not going to lay down and just let this happen. Out here in California, they'd lay down and let that happen. Nobody's even talking about it. They'd be calling you a conspiracy theorist because you were saying they wanted to put big fans up on top of Lookout Mountain. But you guys are working on it, and that's what we got to get doing. We're sitting at about 16 minutes left. I'm going to pass it back to Jonathan to go over your websites and stuff, you know, talk about a little bit about MediaWorks, and then we'll pass it around for everybody for closing remarks. My phone is sure dying, and as soon as it dies, the studio goes down. So I'm hoping it will last up until the top of the hour. So I'll pass it back to you, and then we'll just pass it around the table, and we'll close it out.
Well, Scott, thanks for having me on. I enjoy calling in and discussing things with you, and I think that what you have going sets a foundation to help change America, and I think that's what it's all about. We've got to implement some changes here. And, you know, and if folks want to get a hold of me, jonathanbarbee.com. It's BARBEE.com. That's my website. And, you know, my Facebook.com/JonathanBarbee. Same on Twitter, Twitter.com/JonathanBarbee. You can find me on all those social media, or the best way to just do it is Google me because I'm actually, you know, because I'm so much on social media and websites with my business, MediaWorks. I have a media company. You can actually, if you Google my name, I'm right there on the first page. So I would love to hear from you. Join my mailing list. I send out good emails, you know, from time to time. And I post interesting stories, and I post a lot of your stories, Scott, and vice versa on Facebook. So I'd love to hear from people, and let's keep the fight going.
I'll go. Thanks, Jonathan, again, for hopping on last minute. It's exciting to get together every week and talk about what we're supposed to be doing as Americans, but when we get down to these conversations about action and what it means to just move and make things happen, like Rodney was talking about, doing just one thing and making a difference, because it really does work. I used to be the one that was a political activist from my laptop, and it's really fulfilling to actually get out there and do something, even if it's one day a year. And I want to ask for prayers for the BALA and the Tea Party on Monday and the rally against immigration up in D.C. I feel like a lot of big things are moving right now in America, and I feel like God has his hand on it. Rodney?
Well, that's
okay. Actually, I'm just gonna close with, you know, my challenge. I challenge every person listening to this show this week, do something. Call us next Tuesday and tell us what you did. Go find a candidate for election for 2014. Call them up. Get in touch with them. How can you help them win? School board, fire board, anything. It all starts local. That's how we're going to solve this country. You don't just jump in and run for president. You start somewhere, and they need your help to win, because most people don't think of things like school boards and fire boards as important elections, and they're more important than you can possibly imagine. So send an email, talk to a friend, say something to somebody, do something, and pass it on.
And I'd like to continue on with that. My challenge to all the parents out there today is to sit down with your children and teach them the Pledge of Allegiance. Go on to YouTube, and you can play the original skit from Red Skelton. All you have to do is write Red Skelton in and Pledge of Allegiance, and it pops right up on the number one. Teach them that. And every week, pick another topic to teach your children about our history. We can't rely on our schools anymore, and it's time that we turned around and we took control back and started teaching our own children. We have no choice. They're our future. They're the ones who are going to be the leaders one day. And we have to, obviously, history is not being taught. And we got to tell them where we came from so they can understand better. And they can also maybe one day start challenging their teachers so we can start setting things straight. And bring morality back into the house. Please and thank you and the basics, and work from there. And for that, I'm passing it on to Stacy or Scott.
You know, great show, guys. Let me tell you, my voice, I'm going to see how long it'll last here for a second. You know, we've got a team, we've got a family here that all understand the exact same thing, that we got to get back to basics on some of this stuff. And it's an important fight. And Common Core is the big one to me. You know, where the minds of our youth go over the next 5 to 10 to 20 years could really, really do some damage to this country in future generations. I often stop and take the time to think about when my nieces are in their 70s, when they're in their 80s, what is this world going to be like? We look in our lifetime and see what has changed, and we know that it's moving very fast. And I think this fight's important. I think it's hugely important that we continue it on. I don't give up on California yet, although California, Rodney, wears me out sometimes. You know, the problem with California is not the Democrats. The problem in California is the Republicans. They cannot, for some reason, number one, they cannot be nice to each other. There is a huge problem there. Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
Ronald Reagan would be kicking some you-know-what right now if he were alive and living in California. He would be ashamed of a lot of the politics. And
Starting Placer County.
Exactly. And on top of that, in this great state we've got a bunch of people that just, they don't even realize anything's going on. And we're going to keep trying to wake them up. We're just going to do it. You know, it's going to start. Jennifer Montrose and I have had this discussion a zillion times. I believe it's going to start in Alabama. I really do. I believe that the conservatives push back across the United States to government overreach, all of the nonsense that's being done right now, from Obamacare to Common Core, everything's all been done in the same pattern. It's been done secretively. It's been done with bribery. It's been done with big money. Everything that's been done, we're pushing back. You know, Chicago really, really did make a pretty good advance for their people on the pushback for Second Amendment rights this week. And I believe it can happen. But there's nobody working on it any harder than the people in Alabama. I believe that. I've seen it. I know I've got too many active friends in Alabama and not enough of them in California. So thanks, Jonathan. It's good to have you here. Thanks, Stacy. Dan, Rod, let me tell you, each week we're having a great time, and next week I will have more voice left. So as we go out, I'm going to push one more time the button, and we're going to listen to Red Skelton tell this Pledge of Allegiance exactly the way it was meant to be told. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. And I used to, this is true. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?